Well, if you would turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What I'm going to preach about tonight is something none of us like to hear. As a child, you say, "Mom, can I have a cookie?" She said, "No, it's too close to supper." When your boss, you go up to the boss and say, "Boss, can I have a raise?" Say, "No, there's no money there." Well, what I want to preach a little while tonight on is when God says no. When God says no. Here in this particular passage, and one of the things I want to focus on is a little bit about the background of the Apostle Paul. One of the things we see here is the fact, and it's interesting that Miss Amy just sang about where the roses never fade, because that's where this chapter starts, is a place, and I'm going to go ahead, I'll go ahead and read the first 10 verses. Let's stand and honor the Word of God. And says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's an interesting statement right there, that last phrase. When I am weak, then am I strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And what a blessing it is to know that Paul struggled with the same issues that we have. Whether it be pride, or whether it be the flesh pulling the wrong way, or a thorn in the flesh, or whatever it is, he had the same struggles that we have. Lord, I pray for you just to move the preacher aside and let your Holy Spirit speak to us. Let the message be an encouragement to us all. Lord, we all need encouragement. We all need strength. This is a crazy world we live in. Crazy time to be alive. But Lord, I thank you that the book is still absolutely true, that Jesus absolutely still saves. He's on the throne, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back again one of these days for us, and Lord, we're looking forward to that. But Lord, we've got work to do in the meantime. Lord, don't let us get distracted or detoured from what you've called us to do. Help us to make a difference and see people saved, and help us to live right and teach right. And Lord, keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things I see here is the fact that it says, Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. The Lord knoweth, and or God knoweth. And look at what it says. It says, verse 1 says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul had some things that he couldn't talk about. There were certain things that he could not describe. Sometimes, number one, he didn't want to. I personally believe this is the Apostle Paul he's talking about. He's talking about it in the third person. But he was the one, I believe, that went to heaven. Well, when would that happen? Well, hold your place there and go to Acts chapter 14. And I believe this is when it happened. I don't know. I can't say adamantly about it, but the Lord, I believe, kind of gives us a hint as to some of these things that took place. And look at verses 19 and 20. This is after Paul healed a crippled man. And a lot of people were getting saved, and he stirred up a hornet's nest. By the way, you always stir up a hornet's nest when people get saved. Okay? So understand that if the devil starts giving us a hard time, we'll know why. Because we've seen, 9 or 10 saved in the last 4 or 5 weeks. It says, but look at verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, what I personally believe has happened here, I won't preach that as a doctrine, won't disfellowship anybody for that. If they have a different opinion, Lord will straighten it out one day. But what I believe took place was Paul actually died here, and at that point went to heaven. And he was the one he was talking about, but he was talking about it in the third person. And look at what happened in verse 20. In Acts chapter 14, it says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, what happened? Well, if Paul was killed, he was stoned, that would have given him an opportunity, whether he was unconscious and went to heaven as a revelation, or just saw heaven as a revelation, or like John did, or whatever. The truth is, he said, I was caught up. He said, this man that I know, and it sounded like he knew him pretty well, he said, went up to heaven. And he said, the third heaven. And a lot of people say, well, what do you mean, third heaven? Well, it's pretty simple. The first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the planets are. And the third heaven is where God is. Okay, it's some people, now the Mormons will try to make that out to be several different levels of heaven as far as where God lives. Don't get caught up in that foolishness. It's simple. But it says that he went up to heaven, and he said, look at what it says in verse 4, and he said, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He heard things that he couldn't tell about. And if you go back to the book of Revelation, you'll see that John saw things and he wasn't able to write about. There's certain things that goes on in heaven God doesn't want us to know about on this side. But that's not really my point tonight. But what I want to go on and talk about is the fact that the Apostle Paul had some of the same struggles that you and I have. And you think, well, if you go through the book of Acts and you see where Paul does some of the marvelous works that he does, what did he do? He raised a man from the dead. He healed a crippled man. He cast out demons. He was snake bit. And all he did was shake the snake off in the fire. And the natives thought he was going to die, sure enough, because he had survived the shipwreck. But then turned around and the snake bit him when he was gathering up sticks. By the way, that's a pretty good testimony that they were cold. They were, and who is it that's gathering up the sticks? The preacher. The preacher ought to be able to be willing to do anything. As a preacher, in fact, I'll go ahead and say this. One of the pictures that'll bring a smile to my face and probably most everybody else is when we were at Solid Rock, one of the first things we did in our first storefront is I was having to change out a toilet seat. And somebody got a picture of me changing out a toilet seat. And I'm sitting there changing out the toilet seat, and here she is with the camera. And I couldn't do anything but turn and look and smile. I knew it was going to be a good picture, but it was going to bring a bunch of smiles. But hey, how humbling is that? But guess what? If anybody's going to do the work, it ought to be the preacher. I personally believe that, and I was raised this way, working in the work world, that if the supervisor's not going to do it, you can't expect the rest of the people to do it. And so that's what it's all about. Hey, if a preacher won't go soul winning, why should the people? Now, I know when they get to a point where their health cannot do it, that'll be the only thing to stop me. But the truth is, the preacher went out and got the sticks. But Paul was saying right here, he said there were some things that he wanted to get, he was trying to do. And it says, look at verse 5, and it says, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. What's he saying there? I want you to get this. To glory is basically to gloat, or to brag on yourself, or to boast of yourself. That is an area where you're going to end up regretting if you try to boast of yourself, because Jesus clearly says, without me you can do nothing. We can't even keep our heartbeat. We can't even draw breath if he doesn't let us. And so what we need to do is, and Paul's admitting right here, there's nothing in me to glory about. That's why he says in verse 6, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I'm not going to be foolish enough to brag on myself. I can't do that. I'm nothing. And he says in verse 5, the last part of verse 5, he says, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. What's an infirmity? A problem, a fault, an issue that hinders you. I grew up with asthma all my life. One of the things that kept me from being able to play ball like the other kids and run like the other kids was I was constantly wheezing, and I had to keep an inhaler handy, I got a lot of kids poke fun of me. Even when I was coaching Bill's baseball team, some of the guys that I played ball with and grew up with, their sons were there on the baseball field, and their sons, they were telling their sons, I know they were, because they were their boys were coming up to me telling, and one of them came up to me, said, I can strike you out. Now that's a 12-year-old kid. I'm in my 40s. He said, I can strike you out. I said, Chris, ain't no way. And he said, come on, get up here. I said, okay. Now, when I was their age, I had trouble playing. I didn't have anybody to practice with. My dad was never home. He was gone a lot. But my brothers were a lot better ball players because they had something I didn't have, an older brother. And so he got up there, and I just sat there at the plate, and he pitched as hard as he could. Then he had to go chase the baseball. And I was hitting it with a kid's bat. But the truth is, sometimes you have problems, and it bothered me. That infirmity bothered me when I was little because I couldn't be like the other kids. But I want to tell you something. I've come to the realization that it protected me. One of the doctors told me, and I don't remember which one, but one of the doctors told me when I was probably 12, 13 years old, he said, if you ever go to smoking, it'll take at least 10 years off your life because you got asthma. And so I never started smoking. Now my dad, he was a smoker. I was around smokers. But I'm saying all that because the asthma was an infirmity. The asthma was a problem that I was struggling with. But I want you to know that the infirmities that we have in our life, God normally gives some to everybody. Might not be the same thing, usually it. But we all have infirmities, and it keeps us humble. And that's what Paul was saying here. He's saying, I'm not going to brag on me. I'm not going to glory on myself, but I am going to glory in my infirmities because they keep me humble. But then look at what it says, verse 7. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Hey, Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. God revealed some awful special things to him. He said, but I'm not going to get exalted above measure. Why? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What he was saying was, he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, what was that thorn in the flesh? Well, hold your place here and go to Galatians chapter 6. Just a few pages to the right. Not too far. And I'm not preaching this as adamant either. But I believe that this is probably an indication. Here in verse 11, it says, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. And a little earlier in the book of Galatians, it talks about the fact that the people, the Christians in Galatia, would have given Paul their own eyes if they could. And I believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was an eye problem. You say, when would that have happened? Well, if you read Acts chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus, what happens? He's struck blind. And I believe his eyes never got over that. Whether it's the eye problem or not, I want you to get this, that we all have a thorn in the flesh. We all have struggles. We all have, sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're not. But what we need to remember is, don't get so upset over the thorn in the flesh. Paul, of all the miracles he was able to accomplish, one of the things he couldn't do is remove the thorn in the flesh from his own body. Raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out devils and surviving the deadly snake bite and all the miracles that he was able to perform. He even cast some evil men. He caused them to be blind for a season and things like that. And yet, he asked the Lord three times to have the thorn in the flesh removed. And the Lord said, no. And sometimes the Lord tells us no. Sometimes things work out because he's got a bigger plan. He sees things. You and I, we have this very limited vision. And we can't see long distance. We can't see the eternal ramifications of what's going to happen if we get our prayers answered. I use this illustration sometimes, and I don't believe that she would do this, if Gianna or Janessa came up to Gina and said, Mommy, I want a shotgun for Christmas. Probably not going to happen. But I want it. Probably still not going to happen. Why? Because she knows what's best. And God does too. Even though things are tough. And like the song says, for the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. The God of the day is God of the night. No matter what the troubles are, you and I need to remember that God's in charge. And look at what it says. It says, the thorn in the flesh, what was it? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, why on earth would God allow, what is a messenger? An angel? That's what we've been talking about. An angel is a messenger. So the thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan to buffet or to hinder or to abuse or to handicap, however you want to say it. But remember something. God uses that. It doesn't mean because you have a thorn in the flesh or I have a thorn in the flesh, it does not mean he doesn't love us or loves us any less. It means that he's thinking past our here and now because he wants to keep us humble. Why doesn't he give us $1 million? Guess what? Have you ever noticed what happens to the people that win the lottery? A lot of times, many more times than not, their situation is worse 5 or 10 years later than it was before they won the lottery. Because a lot of people don't have the self-control. But you and I, we're not going to win the lottery. We already have. We've got Jesus. We've got a mansion in heaven. We've got a God that's watching out for us. We've got a God that will provide for us. What more do you want? You want $1 million so it distracts you from following God and worshiping God and trusting in God? Hey, he gives us what we need. And sometimes, a lot of times, he gives us what we want. But it's still, sometimes it's a struggle when he says no. I remember a few of those times with my parents. But then when I go ahead and do it, they say no with emphasis. And explaining that they really meant no. To a point where I was hurting. But let's look on. And this is what I want us to focus on. Verse 8, and it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And the Lord didn't even tell him no directly. What did the Lord say? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I found that to be so true. When you're weak, when I'm weak, it allows the Lord to be strong. If you have a glass and you want to fill it up with milk and it's already full of water, what do you got to do? You got to empty it out. You really want to fill it with milk while it's full of water? Number one, you're going to make a mess. Number two, it's not going to taste that milk's not going to taste real good. So what happens is you've got to empty the glass of what's in it so it can be filled. And that's the way we are. We have to empty ourselves of ourselves so the Lord can fill us. We go to wrestling. Sometimes, and I use the bus sometimes as an illustration, but can you imagine two people trying to go two different ways with us and both of them pulling on the steering wheel? It's not going to be a good thing. And that's what we try to do when the Lord's saying, I want you to go this way. And we say, no, Lord, I want to go this way. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take his hands off. And he's going to let you go the way you want to go. And he'll be there to pick up the pieces, but he'll also say, hey, I told you so. Let me do it my way. Is it easy? Not always. A lot of times it's hard. But it's always best. I love the song, 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Always best for him to have his way. He knows what's down the road. He knows our nature. He knows that we struggle with trying to keep pride in check and the flesh out of the way and all that kind of stuff. But look on, it says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says what? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What's he saying? You either get Jesus and your infirmities, or you take care of everything yourself. You can't have it both ways. Take the infirmities and Jesus, because he's going to always do what's right. He gives us the infirmities, the struggles, the handicaps, if you will, or disabilities, if you will. He gives them to us for a reason. I'm going to tell you something. I despised my asthma when I was a boy. But today I praise God for it. Because it kept me from doing drugs. It kept me from smoking. I didn't fit in with the wrong kind of crowd. I personally believe if I'd started smoking when most of my friends did, I probably wouldn't be here today. My dad didn't make it to 52. He died 2 weeks shy of his 56th birthday. I'm about 10 years older than he was when he died. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord because he gave me the infirmity. Don't get upset with the infirmities. Don't get upset when he doesn't do things the way you want him to, because he has a better plan. Ford don't have a better idea. Jesus does. And look at what else it says in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For For when I am weak, then am I strong. He's saying, hey, that's when I'm the strongest. That's when you're the strongest Christian. Not because you get everything, not because God answers all your prayers, not because of everything that you want to get from Him, but the key is you trust Him even when you don't get things that you want. The Apostle Paul learned that. As great a Christian as he was, we can be a great Christian too if we learn that one principle. We can be a Christian that the devil fears and God can use. But we've got to realize that infirmity was put in our life for a reason. And guess what? I'm only going to have asthma as long as I live here. There's no asthma in heaven. No cripples in heaven. No blind in heaven. No sick in heaven. No handicaps whatsoever in heaven. I remember a man, Gene DeBerry, was a police officer in Lakeland. He was, when I first started going to Gathway Baptist Church, he was my Sunday school teacher. And he was handicapped, he was paralyzed, because he was following some people in pursuit with a... He was on a motorcycle, and they shot at him and hit his helmet, but it knocked him off the motorcycle, and he was paralyzed. But I remember what happened was one of his legs he had to have amputated. And one of the kids came up to him, and I love what he said. He said, "What happened to your leg?" He said, "Well, it's up in heaven waiting on me." Because he's going to have two legs in heaven. My brother just had, a year and a half ago or so, had one of his legs amputated. He's got his leg waiting on him in heaven. We get too caught up in the here and now and thinking this is eternity. This is temporary. We've just got to remember that God's got it all figured out. Just don't get upset with the Lord when He says no. Say, this is the way I'd rather do it. And you say, you know best, Lord. We're just going to trust you, Lord. I'd rather, personally, Lord, I think this is the best way to do it. You'd better slap yourself and say, huh, I don't want to tell that to the Lord. Who am I? He's got it all figured out. Trust Him. When Israel was at the valley of Elah, and they didn't know how on earth they were going to defeat the Philistines, the Lord sent a little boy. It doesn't matter how it looks. The Lord's going to win every battle. Every battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, thanking You for Your many blessings. And Lord, we thank You for giving us an opportunity to study this passage. And Lord, what a great passage and a great lesson it is for us, that You don't always answer our prayers the way we think You should. But Lord, You doesn't mean that You don't love us. In fact, it means that You love us so much that You're willing to do it Your way. Lord, help us to trust You, even when it doesn't go the way we think it should. Move in the invitation as You see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.